Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. There you are, church. Listen, you know, Pastor Raphael, I will keep going until y'all get loud for me. Praise the Lord. It is awesome to be in the house of God today. Amen. I'm praising God that He is doing amazing things in the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to start off. I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of people here in the church. Every morning that I come in here, I see a little group over here in the corner, and they are praying, and they are interceding, and they are setting up the atmosphere for what is about to take place in God's house every Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. I praise God for the intercessors. I praise God for the people who are setting it up so that we are able to be ready to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we've been having a lot going on here at the church, ladies and gentlemen. This week we had the Ignite Preteen Retreat. Ignites in the house, right? This week we had the Breakout Youth Ministry Retreat, Breakout in the House. We got our Ghana team that's finally back, Jesus' name. Saints of God, do you understand that the work of the Orange County Gospel Fellowship is being felt and the impact is being made halfway across the world? Hallelujah. And I praise God for what He's doing in His house. Amen. Amen. Well, I praise God, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, our team, they always get nervous when I come up here. Because they see me pulling stuff out, and they don't quite know what's about to happen. And then I tell them, that's okay, that makes three of us. Because I'm not quite sure what's going to happen either. I've only ever practiced this once. Everybody's like, oh, now you're praying. But I praise God. We are getting into this morning as we prepare to continue our theme of living water. Living water. I praise God for the living water. Amen. And before we get into this, I want to recap a little bit. Pastor Shelley and Pastor Dave, they have been doing a fantastic job with regards to describing this living water. And so I want to revisit one verse that we have heard this week, and that is in John 4:14. It says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst." Never thirst. Thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Praise God. He is going to provide for us a water that will allow us to never thirst. And the only way that it can be a water that will allow us to never thirst is if it is a water that never ends. And God fulfills that promise in the very next sentence, because He says once we have that water, it's going to become in each and every single one of us a well of water springing up to eternal life. And so, saints, once we receive of this water, it is a water that we pray will continue to flow. Amen? Amen? And so today what I want to speak about is, Lord, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Are we ready to be filled today? Hallelujah. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, oh God, and I give you thanks for your word, oh Lord. I give you thanks for what is about to take place here in this house today, oh God. I pray that you would take control of your vessel, Lord God. I pray that you would take control of my lips, oh God, that you would take control of my mind, oh God. You would take control of this very body of mine, oh God, that your word would be what bursts forth from this house today, oh God, from this altar today. And Lord, I pray that as it comes forth, that it would be a word that impacts our very souls, oh God, that we would be able to go forth in the power that you have called us to go forth in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So praise God for living water. And as we go into this idea of living water and living water being poured into us, allowing us to drink of it, we need to understand a certain concept, right? We need to understand that in order for us to be able to hold water, we need to be able to be a willing vessel. Amen. We need to be able to be a willing vessel. Amen. Are you willing vessels today? I hope so, in Jesus' name. And so as I was preparing to get into the word of God today and going into getting into what it is that's going to be being delivered here today, I love jumping into the word of God, saints. I have a very active imagination. And so when I read the word of God, the beauty of having an extremely active imagination is that every book is a picture book. Every book is a picture book when you have a hyperactive imagination. And if any of you have ever had a conversation with me for more than 5 seconds, you know what imagination I'm talking about. Okay? There's a reason why they put me in the basement. And I praise God for it, because when the AC wasn't working, guess where it was still cool? Hallelujah. Praise God. But when I go through the word of God, I go on an adventure each and every single time, whether it's preparing for a Sunday, preparing for a Wednesday, doing my own personal devotion. I praise God that each and every single time I go through the word of God, my imagination runs wild. And ever since I gave my life to the Lord, that imagination that runs wild for him. And sometimes, he gives me these ideas and I try to put them into reality, if you will. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Saints of God, let's pray that today is one of those times it works out. And you'll see what I'm talking about later. And so we get into Jeremiah 2, beginning at verse 4. It says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty. Saints, they became empty, which means at one time they were full. And God made them full, but they chose to be empty. And they did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. Saints, they had gotten to where it is they were going. And they did quite possibly one of the worst things that we can ever do. They forgot about God. They forgot about God. Because when their trials were taking place, when their tribulations were taking place, and God was delivering them, they praised him. But all of a sudden, when things got comfortable, when things got easy, they forgot about God. And it continues, it says, I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things. But you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. Ooh, whenever God uses that word, abomination, and he applies it to his people, that's a strong word, saints of God. That is a strong word. And you would think that that's where it ends. You would think that that's the worst thing that they could do. But no, in the very next verse, it gets even worse. It gets worse because it says the priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. Saints, it got worse because even the very people that were supposed to be leading, the very people who were supposed to be preaching, the very people that were supposed to be directing everyone to God, forgot about God. Everyone forgot about God. Can you imagine coming into this house of worship and then you sit down and we start to sing Drake and Beyonce instead of worship? Can you imagine if we came up here and we started to do other things and only do performances and only give motivational speeches and we forgot about God? Oh, what a terrible place this would become. And then the word of God continues, and it brings us into Jeremiah 2:13. And this is where it hurts the most. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Saints, no matter how much God was pouring into them, they were just ineffective. And they could not hold the very living water that God was trying to pour out into them because they had allowed themselves to become broken cisterns. And saints, when we are broken cisterns, I need you to understand something. We cannot hold the living water of God. And if we cannot hold the living water of God, saints, there's only one destiny that we have, and that is death. Death. And so we'll place this to the side, and we will remember the broken cistern in just a moment. But broken cisterns are not the only kind of thing that God talks about. It's not the only kind of vessel that God talks about. It goes on. If we jump into Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, we have heard this said before. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this. So it's telling the angel, listen, God is about to tell you something, and you need to write it down. And saints, as I've scoured the word of God, whenever it says that God is about to say something and you need to write it down, he's making a point. He's saying you need to hear this and pay attention to what is about to be said. And it says in verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will spit you out of my mouth. That's a hard word, saint. That is a hard word. But God's word is purposeful. Because you see, if you were only hot or only cold, you would know where you stand. When we become lukewarm, the lines get blurry. When we become lukewarm, we can't quite tell, am I here or am I there? When we're lukewarm, it's often referred to as on the fence. Now, saints of God, as a homeowner, I've learned something about property lines. And how many of us understand that when it comes to a fence, there is no fence that is split 50-50. A fence has to be on someone's property. It can be on the very edge of that property, but it has to be on one person's property. Now, saints, there's a lot of people who like to ride the fence and say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to cause any irritation to people. So I'm just going to stay right here on this fence. But I got news for you, saints. That fence has to be on one person's property. And I'm going to tell you this right now. It ain't God's property. Because God doesn't operate with fences. That's Satan's job to blur the lines. And so if you ride the fence, ride it, but you're riding it all the way to hell. I don't think you hear me. There's a lot of people that say, I'm a good person. I'm actually a great person. But here's the truth. There's going to be a lot of good and great people in hell. I'm sorry, church. I'm only here to give you the truth. I'm only here to give you the truth. And so, saints of God, that brings us to the second vessel. They're only lukewarm. They're only filled halfway, just enough so that maybe, just maybe, you'll see a little Jesus in them. Just maybe you'll see a little bit of Jesus in them so that this way they think that they can play church, but then at the same time still hang with the crew. And still hang with the people that are in the world. Halfway, so-so. And we'll come back to this vessel in just a moment. But now, saints, that gives us the last vessel. And that brings us to this next portion. And I'm really going to spend some time on this portion because we need to be clear on what it means to look like this last vessel. Amen? And so it brings us to Acts 1, beginning at verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. Again, this is Jesus. He's saying, you heard this from my mouth. And again, God's word is purposeful. He's saying, you heard this from my mouth. And so if you heard this from the mouth of Jesus, that makes it true. If you heard it from the mouth of Jesus, that means what he's about to say is gonna happen. Because I don't know about you, I don't serve a false God. Hallelujah. And so it goes on to verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? The disciples come to Jesus and they hear what he's saying. They are saying, Lord, is this it? Is this the day? Is this the day where Israel rises again? Then Jesus says, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. See, saints, we get so caught up with what's going to happen that we lose sight of what God is doing right now, of what God is doing right now. And Jesus is telling them, don't worry about that. I just told you, you're about to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he needs to elaborate with his disciples. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. It says you will receive power. It says you will receive power. Does it say you might receive power? Does it say that there's a possibility you'll receive power? What does it say, saints? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when that power comes, it says you're going to be able to go forth and you're going to become a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the remotest part of the earth. You think that we sent people to Africa without power? I don't think so. Do you think that we send people anywhere without power? I don't think so. We send people filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that they go with power. Saints, do you have power today? I pray that you do. I pray that you do, because I'm about to show you what power looks like. All right? I'm about to show you what power looks like, because as we continue and press on into Acts 4, it says that they were speaking to the people, the priests, and the captain of the Sadducees, the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them. They came up to them as they were speaking to the people. They were actively engaging in sharing the word of God. And these other people roll up. And it says, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were not mincing words. They were not talking pretty. They went out and proclaimed Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Guess what? When you proclaim Jesus, people get disturbed. There ain't no cutting it. If you go outside these walls and proclaim the name of Jesus and his resurrection and life, people will get disturbed. Saints of God, you might go into a church and proclaim the name of Jesus and people will be disturbed. You hear what I'm saying? Ooh, saints of God. And when these disturbed people came forth, it says that these disturbed people came and they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. And now, saints, I want to clarify, this is not the kind of laying on of hands that you want. You hear me? This ain't it. This is the kind of laying on of hands that requires laying on of hands. They got scooped up and they got put in jail for the night. And so when they're in jail, I got a question for you. It doesn't necessarily say what they were doing in jail, but I've got a sneaky suspicion that if they were proclaiming Jesus in the streets, what do you think they were doing when they got to jail? They were proclaiming Jesus. How come when everything is all fine and dandy, we proclaim the name of Jesus, but then we get into trouble and we forget all about him? And all of a sudden, our trouble becomes bigger than our Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't know why it is that I'm in jail. This sucks. This is terrible. God, I don't know why I lost my job. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. God, I don't know why I'm through. And then all of a sudden, you start complaining about that, and you forget that you're supposed to be proclaiming Jesus in the midst of the storm. How do I know that they were proclaiming Jesus in the midst of the storm? Well, we're going to find out in just a second. Because while they were in jail, right, there was something that was going on outside. It says, but many of those who had heard the message believed. And a number of men came to be about 5,000. That's a big number. Can you imagine if all of us went out today in just one town, proclaimed the gospel, and 5,000 people came to Jesus? We're going to need to build another building. Y'all need to get excited for that one. Everyone's like, just let us get through this one. But I want you to take note of something. It says, but many of those who heard believed, and it was 5,000. 5,000 are just the many. That means there were others. How many people were they ministering the gospel to? They were able to do it with boldness to 5,000 plus people, but we're scared to say the name of Jesus to one. To one. You say, I don't know what that's going to look like to people if I say Jesus' name. I don't want them to stop being my friend. I don't want people to not like me. Saints of God, when you proclaim the name of Jesus, there's only one person that I'm concerned with liking me, and his name is Jesus. I've been known to ruffle a couple of feathers in my time. And that's okay. That's okay. Because if that means 5,000 people are going to come to Jesus, ruffle me up, world. Ruffle me up. You could pluck me dry. If that means 5,000 more souls are coming to the kingdom, amen? Hallelujah. And so I know that they were proclaiming the word of God from the inside, because on the outside, things were happening. But then I still know that they were proclaiming God from the inside, because what happens next? It says in verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. They had all come back together. And it says, Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, all the boys were there. And all who were high priestly descent. And do you think that they just came together to just have a nice talk? They were like, hey, what's up, boys? How you doing? Shalom. Right? They're Hebrew, right? And so they all come together. And it says that when they had placed them in the center, the people, John, Peter, says they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this? The interrogation has begun. And I, you know, they had to wait until morning because they didn't have spotlights back then, right? And so they put him in the center and they say, by what power and what name have you done this? And I love what happens next. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, you read what that says? Peter what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, rulers and elders of the people. Rulers and elders of the people. If we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. It says that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, saint of God, I've heard it said in the past, you know, my ministry, my this, my that. Now, there's nothing wrong with claiming your church. There's nothing wrong with claiming your ministry. I've done it. But you need to check your heart before you start that sentence. We need to all check our heart before we start that sentence, because it may be your ministry that you are claiming, but it ain't your power. It's the name of Jesus that brings power to that ministry. It's the name of Jesus that fills this house. It's the Holy Spirit that fills this place. And so when the miracles take place, it's not you, it's Jesus. When the freedom takes place, it's not you, it's Jesus. We just need to be willing to let him operate through us. Amen? Hallelujah. And the word of God is very purposeful, saints. I keep saying this because it needs to be understood. It says that whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Saints of God, the world's been trying to kill Jesus for a long time. The world's been trying to kill the word of God for a long time. But every time the world thinks he's dead, God brings him back to life. God reminds the world that you can try and suppress my name. You can try and take me off of social media. You can try and cancel me. You can even kill my people. But guess what? I'm always going to have a remnant. I'm always going to have a remnant. Every nation that has ever tried to destroy the name of God, they're being talked about in the history books. But guess who's still being talked about today in the present? Jesus. God is still as alive today as he was when he said, "Let there be light." Woo! And it is because of him that this man stood there before them in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. When people ask you, how do I get saved? There's only one way. Jesus. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not anything. It ain't even the saints. Oh, it ain't even the saints. I'm telling you, it ain't Mother Mary. Jesus is the only way to God. And if anyone ever asks you that question, how may I be saved? I just gave you the answer. Write it down, saints. Write it down. If you don't have the ability to write it down, record it on your phone. If you don't have the ability to record it on your phone, find the timestamp on YouTube and hit play. Because there is no other way and there is no other answer to how can I receive salvation. The answer is verse 12 in Acts 4. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Woo! I'm about to give you another hot take. It doesn't matter how many pieces of paper you got on a wall. It doesn't matter how many certifications you have. It doesn't matter if you got all the education in the world. If you ain't got Jesus, you ain't changing nothing. Now, I'm not saying forsake education. I'm not saying forsake those certifications. But don't replace certification for sanctification. All right? We need sanctification, not certifications. We need to be able to be in the presence of Jesus so that when people see us, they see and recognize that we have been with Jesus. And the opposite is just as true. If you haven't been with Jesus, trust me, they'll know. Trust me. And you know what's even crazier? If you haven't been with Jesus and you're talking to somebody that has been with Jesus, oh, they're gonna know too. You can try and be a wolf in sheep's clothing, but God will expose you. God will expose you. Saints of God, we need to spend more time with Jesus so that the world will recognize who you are and who you belong to. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 14, seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, guess what? They had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle is taking place through them, okay, one more time, through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." You hear me? When God moves and does something, the world is not going to be able to deny it. But the only way that they can't deny it is if God does something through us and we're willing to let him do the work through us. Do you hear me, church? Are you willing, church? Oh, I want to see some healings and deliverance this week in Orange County. In verse 17, it says, "But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Oh, I got to undo my tie, church. Because it's getting hot. It is getting hot. And I'm not talking about temperature. I'm talking about Holy Ghost hot. Because, saints, you got to understand something. This scripture is not going to be long before it becomes law in this world. It's not going to be long before it becomes law in this world when the people roll up in black suits and in squad cars and tell you and try to command you not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But I got news for you. I know what verse 19 says. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But guess what my answer is? For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We will not stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. I will not stop speaking of what I have seen and heard. 2 Timothy says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, love, and of a sound mind. So when things get scary, God has given you power. When you feel weak, God has given you power. When people want to hate on you, God has given you love. And when the world tries to make you seem like you're crazy, let me remind you, God has given you a sound mind. He has given you a sound mind. It ain't crazy to be a Christian. It's crazy not to be. And with that sound mind, in verse 29 of Acts 4, it says, now, Lord, my sound mind is coming before you, and Lord, I need an intercession. I need an intercession. Take note of their threats, O God. Take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Let me read that again. It says, grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. It's not saying, Lord, remove me from this situation. No. It's not saying, Lord, get them out of my life. It's not saying, Lord, anything other than, Lord, give me what I need to get through that wall. Give me what I need to get through that obstacle. And while you're giving me what I need, Lord God, don't stop. Don't stop healing. Don't stop the signs. Don't stop the wonders. Keep it going. Through who? The name of your holy servant, Jesus. Woo! And at the end of that prayer, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. Saints of God, when the people get together, the ground better be shaken. When two or more are gathered at work, that place should be shaken. If you see somebody at ShopRite in the same aisle as you, those aisles better be shaken. Hallelujah. Because guess what? The work of God is never going to stop. The work of God is never going to stop. And we need to be able to speak the word of God with boldness. And that brings us to the final vessel, filled to the brim. Filled to the brim and overflowing with the living water of God. Why do we need to be filled, saints? Why do we need to be filled? Because if we are just broken vessels and the fire comes in, guess what? It's only a matter of time before you begin to burn down. And it's only a matter of time before the world has victory in your life. It's only going to be a matter of time before your vessel begins to crumble. Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me, church? Don't be a broken vessel. Don't be a broken vessel. Don't forsake the work that God has been calling you to do, because the enemy is out there to seek, kill, and destroy. Don't let the world have a victory in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. And this becomes useless as it was in the beginning. Don't be half full. Don't be half full, because even in being half full, you're not going to have what you need. And the living water that's supposed to be in each and every single one of us, that's supposed to be keeping us filled, it's going to be overtaken by the waves of the world. And what was once supposed to bring life is going to drown you. It is going to drown you. And you too will just become the same as this broken vessel, unable to carry out the will and the work of God. But saints of God, when you're full, when the storm comes, you will not fall. When the storm comes, you will not be broken. When the storm comes, you will still be able to hold. When the storm comes, you will still be able to say, I am still here, God. I am still full, God. And no matter how hard those waves come, no matter how hot that fire burns, you will not fall. You will not be broken. You will not be shattered. No, the victory belongs to God. And when the victory belongs to God, the victory belongs to you. And so, saints of God, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one full body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Saints of God, God is looking to the world and saying, I am for everyone. I'm available to everyone. But we need to be willing to receive what it is that he has to offer. From Revelation 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. All things. The first things have passed away. And it says, behold, all things are new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. What did we say? When God tells you to write, he needs you to understand what comes next. He says to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, not one or the other. I am the beginning and the end, not one or the other. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He says, I have a gift for you that would allow you to experience peace beyond understanding. I have a gift for you that will bring healing to your body, healing to your bones. I have a gift for you that will bring deliverance in your life. And it costs nothing, because I paid it all, says the Lord. It says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Saints of God, will you overcome today? Will you overcome the world? Will you overcome the trial? Will you overcome tribulation? Well, I got news for you. If you're willing to overcome, if you're willing to let God overcome in your life, you too are his children. Are you his children, saints? So ask him today, fill me up, Lord. Let me hear you, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Let us worship our God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints. I believe in you is not just a lyric. It's not just a line in a song. It's a question. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in him today? Saints of God, if we believe in the God of the Bible, if we believe in what his word said, then why are we allowing ourselves to walk on this earth without power? Why is the church allowing themselves to walk around defeated? Why are we letting the world overcome the church when it's the church through the power of God should be overcoming the world? Saints of God, our God is a faithful God, and he is waiting to fill you up. He is waiting to give you your portion. And there are many of us in this place today. We're afraid. We're afraid to go all in for God. Because if we go all in for God, that means we got to give up some things. That means we got to be ready and willing to have God remove the dross. We have to be ready and willing to allow God to take out those things that don't look so pretty. But faithful is God that when he removes those things, he amplifies the reality of who you are and fills you with better things, greater things, more powerful things, because he fills you with himself. So, saints, today, allow God to pick you clean. Allow God to pour you out so that he can pour himself into you. Allow God to fill your vessel, because a time is coming. A time is coming where if we're not filled with the Holy Ghost power of God, we will fall and fall hard. But saints of God, faithful is our God that if we truly put it in him, if we truly put our faith in him, even in those moments when we are falling, he is faithful to pick us back up. So if you feel like you have fallen here today, if you feel like you have fallen too far, I have news. That's a lie. You have not fallen too far from God's reach. And these altars, this altar is open for you to receive what God has to pour out into your life today. My prayer is this, that you will not let fear overcome you today. That you will not let fear keep you from coming forward today. That you will not let fear stop you from being filled today. So Lord, we come before you right now, oh God, hands lifted high. And we're praying for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit like never before, oh God. Lord, I'm praying for your Holy Ghost power to rain down in your house today. God, even if there's those who aren't willing to come up, Lord, I'm praying that you meet them where they are right now, oh God. Lord, I'm praying your Holy Spirit is filling those seats, oh God. I'm praying that your Holy Spirit is filling those seats, oh God. I'm praying that your Holy Spirit's filling those seats, oh God. Fill your people. Make them clean. Make them new. Fill them with power. And have your way. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Let's worship our God. Hallelujah.
Up your voice.